640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I am America's relationship expert, and I talk about the science of love. I want to give a special welcome to my TikTok watchers. Yes, we are now live on TikTok with I don't know how many people from around the world. And I want to tell my TikTokers that you, no matter where you are in the world, you can download the iHeartRadio app and listen to my show. That's every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. Some, most weeks is 4 to 6 or 4 to 7. I also take calls live, which I will be doing in a, next segment, I'll be taking calls. If anybody wants to call in live, the number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. The lines aren't open yet. They will be at the next commercial break. So let's get into it. The last two segments, I've been talking about people who have an anxious attachment style. And so pop psych terms for this might be needy or clingy, and they may not even know that they have this kind of attachment style and that they are sending people, they're pushing people away. They're pushing potential partners away. But one of the ways they reconfirm the fact that deep down inside they may feel unlovable is they will become attracted to people who have an avoidant attachment style. And so probably the number one question that I get on my TikTok and through all my social media and people who email me is, how do you heal if you have an anxious attachment style? What can you do to heal? And by the way, I do not want to make light of this. The pain, I mean, I myself recovered from an anxious attachment style through, I think, the secure attachment that I have with my children, through a lot of years of therapy, through a lot of textbook work, getting a master's and PhD in psychology to help understand this. But I don't want to lie to you. Those early years felt as bad as a physical pain. Crying into your pillow at night because this person you love so much hasn't called or texted back. I know this pain is real. But for people who have an anxious attachment style, the first step to healing is learning to make different choices. You know, there are four stages of personal healing. Imagine that your anxious attachment style or this avoidant mate is a hole in the road. So you're walking down the road, you don't see this hole, and you fall in it. That is stage one. Then you learn about attachment style, and you think, okay, I got this now. I have an anxious attachment style. And then you walk down the street. This time you see the hole, and you recognize it, and you still fall in it. Many of you may be at that stage, stage two. Stage three of healing an attachment style is you walk down the street. You see that hole. You recognize that avoidant person, whatever gender they may be, and you very carefully walk around it. But stage four is you take a different street, right? You won't need that anymore. You won't need to conquer the alpha person, the person who's a challenge. People say, oh, I love somebody who's a challenge. I love an alpha male. No, you like avoidant people because they reconfirm for you that you're not lovable. That's the faulty thought in your head. That's not the truth. You're totally lovable. So how do you spot an avoidant person on a first date? Well, first of all, they will mention having many, many relationships. They will talk about my ex is this, my ex is that, very plural. But you won't be able to figure out if they ever had a long stint of monogamy in there. And if this person, okay, if they're a teenager in their early 20s or a college student, you get it. But if this person is over 30 and they haven't spent one calendar year in a relationship with somebody, you got to ask why. What's been going on that they were unable to build the glue? And the glue is emotional intimacy. Another way to spot an avoidant person on a first date is that they're really, really sexually interested in you too quickly. It feels like this is moving way too fast. They might test your boundaries by reaching out and touching you on a first date. This could be somebody, remember, people who have an emotionally avoidant attachment style still want to obtain sex, right? They're biologically wired to obtain sex. So they want to move quickly in that kind of relationship. when you do test the waters by bringing up something personal, something a little bit vulnerable, or something about your feelings, they change the subject, or they laugh at you. They find it funny. They make a joke about it, right? That's what avoidant people do. They change the subject, or they turn it into some kind of light little joke. You're paying attention to these cues, remember. People who have an avoidant attachment style will often refer to themselves as very independent. They're quite proud of their independence. I want to remind you, we're wired to bond, and having a healthy interdependence is good for our mental health. It's good for our physical health. It can even help us accumulate more wealth. Learning how to lean on each other's shoulders when appropriate. Now, that's different from being, you might call it codependent. I call it fused. Being so emotionally fused with somebody that nobody can remember whose problem is whose, that's very different. Having a healthy interdependence, I want you to think of a relationship as two circles, a Venn diagram, two independent people. They overlap a little bit. So there's an autonomous person here, an autonomous person there, and then a shared emotional intimacy in between. That's healthy interdependence. Also, somebody who has an avoidant attachment style gets angry when you say no to sex very early on. And I'm telling you, the best test of whether somebody's in there for the long term or a quick short-term relationship is to delay the onset of the sexual debut in a relationship. That's different than using the language withholding sex as a manipulative tactic. What I'm talking about is delaying the onset of the sexual debut in a new relationship so that you can wait and see. Wait and see where this is going. Wait and see who this person is. And if you say, well, I'm afraid if I don't do it, then he's just going to go find somebody else because there's so much free sex everywhere. Okay, then let him go. He's not for you. He's not for you. You know what? Because of dating apps, the fact that there are thousands of new partners a thumb swipe away, he's not the last fish in the sea. And you can use new dates to practice emotional intimacy, to practice delaying the onset of the sexual debut. Take your time. Now, again, I'm assuming that a chunk of you who are listening want to have a secure attachment that's going to last a long time. If you want a short-term fling, go for it. Fine. Put a condom on. Safe sex. Okay. I have no judgment. There's no morals here, folks. No morals. All right. When we come back, I am going to be answering social media questions, and I am going to be taking your calls. Producer Morgan, are you going to go man the phones, woman the phones?
I'm on it.
She's going to go person the phones. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Give me a call. I'm going to answer your questions live on the radio. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I am America's relationship expert, and I am taking your calls. I've got some social media questions, a caller holding. The number, if you'd like to call in, is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Okay, Producer Morgan, who do we have up first?
First up, we got Amy on line two.
Okay. Hi, Amy. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I wanted to tell you I really enjoy your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I'm in a 21-year-old marriage. Mm-hmm. We've been together 21 years, and it took about 10 years for me to figure out or to even hear about attachment theory, mm-hmm. and 10 years in, and then it's taken me about another 10 years to recognize what is going on, you know, the mm-hmm. dynamic that we have. And that's all good. We're really both very open. We're in therapy right now. We're working with someone that understands attachment theory. But I just wanted to ask your opinion about, you know, you were saying if you're an anxious attachment person, you know, maybe avoid getting involved in an avoidant attachment person relationship because it's challenging. But I'm in one. It's great. We love each other, but it is challenging. So just asking, you know, what's your opinion on a couple that's already there?
Well, you're doing the best thing possible, which is the work. You know, I always say relationships are a gymnasium for our minds, right? You can't go like meditate on a mountaintop and come back a new person. You've got to entangle with somebody else, push on that weight machine. Mm. And so it sounds like this particular relationship, for whatever reason, you guys stayed in it, whether it was the kids, the financial, the house, whatever, you decided you were going to stay in it. And you were going to work on your issues and continue to work on your issues. And that's the sign of a healthy relationship, right? Now, when I refer to people who have an anxious attachment style and I say you need to leave early, it's because most of these relationships explode on them because they're unable to see their peace in it. And they keep choosing people that will actually re-injure them. So it sounds like, you know, your ability to stay attached in the first 10 years, the two of you, shows that as far as the spectrum is concerned, he wasn't so avoidant and dismissive that it caused you to, you know, go up in flames, right?
Right.
You were
right.
able to Definitely. Tolerate it. And, you know, that's really what we're talking about, is learning to not only tolerate our own feelings, but have some understanding for our partner's feelings. So I love that you called, Amy, because this is such a great example of how people can do the work and can get better, and they heal each other through that.
Exactly, exactly. And we're so excited because we're just about to hit the place where the kids are out of the house and we get to go on adventures and, you know, reconnect. And we never had the beginning part because we had kids right from the beginning. So we've been 21 years, you know, like out of the gate, right?
You know, and I so had this conversation with a childhood friend recently. I was home in Canada for a wedding and I was saying, oh my God, you guys look so happy and whatever. She goes, we just realized that we never lived together alone before. That we had, they had, I guess when they first got married, his brother was living with them, and then they had three kids, and then the grandfather got sick and he moved in with them, and then the dog finally died. And so they're like, it's just the two of us now, and we're eating healthy and working out and we getting to know each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so,
fun. It's
so
exciting.
Good to hear. Thank you for calling, Amy, and thanks for listening to the show. All right. Who do we have next, Producer Morgan?
That's it for our phone calls.
Okay, let me go to social.
Have social media, though.
If you would like to call, the number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Let me go to social media. Oh, my. The first question popping out. My heart is breaking. This person says, my online boyfriend talks about meeting only when I bring it up. We haven't met in 2 years. This hurts me. He says he misses me, but doesn't show it. What do I do? Am I watching an episode of Catfish here? An online relationship, people, is not a relationship. Now, I know you're going to argue with me because the feelings that you're having are very real. That I will say. The feelings are real and the intimacy can feel real. But a real relationship has day-to-day bumps, grinds, conflicts, and conflict resolution. And so anybody in a long-distance relationship who's never been in the same town, anybody who's in an online relationship, is in an imaginary relationship. This is a fantasy. And if you are sitting there feeling hurt, it's because you have an anxious attachment style, and this is the perfect person for you to feel familiar feelings of painful love and longing. So my quick answer to what do I do is go find a real boyfriend in the real world, please. I'm sorry. I know it hurts. All right. Next question. I love this one. I get asked it all the time. Oh, we have to go to break. When we come back, it's about single parents and dating. Okay. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. Okay, I'm taking your calls and answering your social media questions. The number is 1-800-520-1534. Producer Morgan, who do we have next?
Let's go to Stephen on line two.
Stephen. Hi, Stephen. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hello, doctor.
How can I help you?
Well, I've been in a relationship for 14 years. 10 of those have been in a domestic partnership agreement. And for the entire time, I was essentially never faithful. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something that she didn't know about. She found out just about every single time. And I always assumed at one point in time she would have just had enough of me and left. But she did not. Mm-hmm. And now I've been fighting for many years here to do the right thing and leave. But I never do because on the flip side, I don't want to go through the financial hardship, the uncomfortableness. And I'm also, to be quite honest, afraid to break it off.
So how old are each of you?
I'm 68. She's 55.
And are there children involved?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So is your question, I mean, you called leaving the right thing, not staying and building emotional intimacy and true monogamy and honesty with her. That's not, you don't consider that the right thing. For you, the right thing would be to let her go so that she could find someone else. Help me understand this.
Well, yes, I honestly think that that would be the best policy. Mm-hmm. But I also somewhat in the back of my mind think maybe here's a woman that's been so good to me all these years and taking me back each time. Maybe I should stay in and work it out. I honestly thought that at some point during this 14 years and many relationships that she would have walked out, but she never did. Oh. So I'm torn between to do the right thing, because if I can't stop being, unfaithful, then I should not be in the relationship.
Well, only you know what you can do, right? And
true. I mean, think I've known the answer all along, but I've been afraid to admit it to myself.
It's interesting that you think the easy route would be leaving her so that you continue to have multiple relationships and not have the guilt of hurting her. But the only thing that's holding you back is the money and the messiness of a breakup of a domestic partnership. But there is a whole nother thing here. I mean, when you've said three times now, I really thought she'd leave me. I really thought she'd leave me. Did you want her to leave you?
I think in a way I did, because it over the past lifetime, I've been in relationships where I've done the same thing. And it was always easier for someone to leave me. And then I didn't have to go through the uncomfortableness of saying, you know what, I don't think this is going to work.
And, do you respect her more or less because she stayed? Do you respect her more or less because she stayed?
Well, that's an excellent question. Actually, I think less.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening here. She's actually making you do the leaving. That's what's happening here. She's staying.
And I think you're right.
Yep. And she's becoming devalued in your eyes because of her staying. She's not doing the dirty work of leaving for you, and she's making you leave. So, Stephen, I like that you want to at least be honest and do the right thing. And I do agree with you now. Now that I understand everything going on, the right thing is for you to release her from her pain and for you to go on and live your life with multiple partners. And yeah, it's going to cost you something, money. Oh, well, you'll be happier. Trust me. Thank you so much for calling, Stephen. Oh my gosh, the tangled webs we weave. It's painful. I know. Morgan, do we have anybody else or should I go to social?
Yeah, let's go to Tracy on line one.
Sure. Hi, Tracy. It's Dr. Wendy.
Oh, hi, Dr. Wendy. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. What's your question?
So my question's more in general. I was lucky, I guess, to have an 18-year marriage with two full-grown kids. There was definitely love there. We went our separate ways. He pulled the plug. Someone had to do it. I would have stayed because it's in my nature just to stay forever. Mm-hmm. But he pulled the plug. So I got the experience of, like, I'm 59 facing down 60 next year. Downloading a dating app. Mm-hmm. And kind of experimenting with that. And I was lucky in terms of people, like a good 20 years my junior. So I hope I don't offend anybody. But That was kind of like my.
It depends. Some people might not call that lucky, but okay.
Lucky, like, yeah, exactly. Well, it's a, yeah. It was nice to touch, like, you know, six pack ab. All that was beautiful, but it's in my nature. I get attached. If I'm going to have sex, I automatically attach.
Well, it's just, because you're of the female sex and your bodies emit so much oxytocin during orgasm, which is the big bonding hormone, the same hormone that's released when you breastfeed your baby. That's why.
Gosh, you know, you're so right. There's no denying it. It really is. You can't deny science. It is what I am and who I am.
So what's your question?
Sadly, like the guys who would be age appropriate, I don't know if it's women in Los Angeles or women across the country or the world, but a lot of us put a lot more energy into taking care of ourselves on the physical realm of looking good.
Okay, I know where we're going with this.
Yeah. My grandfather.
Trying to find a peer guy who looks as good as you do. I hear this all the time. So what I want you to know is this. I mean, I like peer men. I found my guy on a app last year, right? He's 61 years old. He looks great. He's in great shape. So it's possible, and they're out there. And the great thing about dating apps is that you have thousands of potential mates a thumb swipe away. But right now, you have actually created an unfair comparison. It's one thing to compare a 59-year-old guy with another 59-year-old guy. It is not fair to compare them with a 38-year-old guy, right? So you've got to just start dating peers so that you get sort of the normalcy of that experience. And then, you know, the thing is, all genders want to date sort of the, you know, it's anthropological, the healthiest mates that will live the longest, that take care of themselves. And I think as we get older, it becomes even more important because you're talking about probably the last great relationship of your life where the exchange of care becomes so important. So the two times in a person's life where if a relationship, in my mind it is an exchange of care, and that care can take many forms, right? Financial care, sexual care, instrumental care if they're ill, you know, domestic responsibility care, emotional support care, et cetera, et cetera. But there are two times in your life where you really need a relationship. One is when you're raising small kids, because the more people invested in those kids, the better off they're going to be. And secondly, as our bodies start to age, right, where we need to literally take care of each other and make sure each other goes to the doctors and all that stuff. And so
that's my male best friend keeps telling me. He's like, you've got to start looking at it that way. And I can go into denial about that piece, but no, that's true.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, and also the kind of guys that I would have liked when I was in my 30s would have been those wild and crazy playboys or, you know, alpha, you'd call them an alpha male. Now, I want kindness. I want a caregiver. I want somebody who's there for me. So it's a whole different kind of experience at our age. And so I think you really just want to think about your needs. And it's a two-step process. One is stop dating the young guys if you want to end up with a guy who's a peer. And also, Tracy, oh my gosh, you have nothing to talk about with guys who are young. I wanted to be with a guy who remembers disco, okay? I wanted a guy who remembered punk rock, right? And so I didn't want to be anybody's teacher or educator. Even though I do, I think, look younger than my age, I just didn't want to be anybody's teacher. So good luck to you. I think you're doing the right thing, but you want to wean off those young guys if you're hoping to find a nice peer relationship.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, fair enough.
Swipe away the chubby ones, though. Just move on if that's not what you want. All right. Thank you for calling. Do we have time for one more? How's our time going? One more. Who we got?
Let's see. Let's go to Paris on line 2.
Paris. Hi, Paris. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. So I've been using a lot of the dating apps, but like on Tinder, Bumble, when I'm on all of them, I don't really get any matches. And if I do match, it gets unmatched really fast, and it's very disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, is it like, should I not be using those apps at all? Should I be focusing on meeting people in person? Is it like an online marketing thing?
Okay, so I think you should do some research on what are good things to put in dating app profiles, first of all. And we have to go to break soon, so I'm going to be really quickly tell people that You know what? I'll explain how to make a good profile when we come back. Okay, Paris? But thank you very much for that question. It's a good one. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We are into the home stretch. I know, usually we're 3 hours, but we have that great new special coming up about Bruce's Beach that I can't wait. I'm going to be in my car on the way home listening to every second of that because I'm very excited for it. This sand is our sand. All right. I promised that listener, Paris, that I would answer him about a profile. I mean, I can do 4 segments on what to put in a dating profile, but in the nutshell, it is this. You want to have one good headshot, wear a red shirt in your primary photo because it gets more swipes. That's just the rule of thumb. Make sure you have one full-length body shot. You don't have to be naked. You probably shouldn't be naked if you're over 40. I mean, naked, bathing suit, you know what I mean. Don't, Morgan's cracking up.
I'm like, oh, wait, let me take notes.
Don't be in your underwear. Don't be, you know, if you're over 40, you know, whatever. Just one sort of body conscious shot so they can see like, okay, they're fit or whatever. Then something in your natural habitat, at work, whatever you like to do, you doing something. Don't put pictures of you with 6 people. We don't know which one is you. Doesn't matter. Don't put pictures, 5 pictures of you in a baseball hat and sunglasses. We can't see you, especially if you have a mask on. Always write something. Gentlemen, write something. It's amazing how many of you put up pictures and you don't write anything. And don't write, you are this and I'm looking for this. No, tell us who you are. I don't care what you're looking for. All right. You just sell yourself there. And you're still not getting swipes. I would reach out to a dating coach or somebody who can help you shape your profile because there is somebody for everybody. Okay, I promised I would answer this social media question, and then I want to talk about this new study I read about our relationships and our health. The question from social is, should single parents wait until their kids are 18 to date? Is it better for the child's mental stability? Okay, let me just say this. A revolving door of parental figures is the worst thing for kids. This we know. We also know that if a child is raised in a home with a non-biologically related male, they have 8 times the rate of abuse, emotional, physical, or sexual. Mommy's boyfriend, stepfathers, stepbrothers, etc. So, if you want to create a blended family, there are lots of amazing single dads out there, and you should take your time with one of them and not introduce any of your kids for at least 6 months. If, on the other hand, you're just looking for a romantic compartment and you don't want somebody involved in your kids' lives, then keep it on your weekend off or your week off and don't expose your kids to it. You have to make a decision what you're looking for. Do you want a blended family? Then only shop for single dads who are looking for, you know, my brother met his wife. They both had kids. They had teenagers and they decided they did their week on, week off on the same time. So they had 1 week in their respective houses with their respective kids, and then their week together to do their romantic stuff. And they were together 7 years until the nest was empty, and then they got married. They sold both their little houses, and drove out of town, and bought a big house. Life is good. We all go there for the holidays. So think about what your goals are, but do not expose your kids to a revolving door of romantic figures. Okay, this new study I read. So I have to tell you something. I was at that wedding in Canada, and I noticed a couple things, couples I hadn't seen since pre-COVID. And we're talking about couples with newly empty nests. And one woman had lost a ton of weight. She looked great. Her husband had not. And she was complaining about how she couldn't get him to be more healthy. He'd never been to a doctor. So she doesn't know if he has diabetes, high cholesterol or whatever. But let me just say, he manned the barbecue all day, made 100 hamburgers and even keeps meat in his pocket. You can worry about his blood work yourself. The fact that she was able to live a healthy life and get healthy despite living in the same house is a miracle. Another couple, he had had a heart attack, had to lose some weight. He looked better than I'd ever seen him. He was golfing 4 times a week. He's exercising. He's eating super healthy. She's always been healthy, so he kind of caught up with her. And they were saying that they're more in love than they've ever been. All cool. I've been in a relationship for 1 year and 3 months, and I noticed that I'm starting to get some of his bad habits. You know me, I'm the keto, low-carb girl. But last night we ate at this fabulous restaurant in Thousand Oaks. Have you ever been there, called the Moody Rooster? It's like a little neighborhood place.
I've not.
Oh my God. I literally called the hostess over and said, is this a chef-owned restaurant? Because this food is off the charts. She goes, well, my husband and I own it. He's the chef. But they're moving to a bigger location, Moody Rooster. But point being, one of the things that my boyfriend couldn't resist was the gnocchi potato pasta. But wait, after it's made, it's fried in butter and then served with a Parmesan cream sauce. No,
that's but it's like, so good, wasn't
I know,
it?
That's like a So I said to him this morning, we can't do this more often because I read this research. It was a very large scale study conducted by Japanese researchers. When I say large scale, 5,400 couples in Japan and 28,000 couples in the Netherlands. They found out that long-term couples have the same levels of blood pressure, triglycerides, and cholesterol. And they're more likely to simultaneously suffer from chronic ailments such as diabetes and hypertension. This is supported by previous research, like one out of the University of Michigan of 1,500 couples that said that partners who had been together more than 50 years had roughly the equivalent kidney function and grip strength. Oh, men and women both, just saying. This piggybacked on other research out of the University of British Columbia that said that couples in long-term relationships often experience the same symptoms of psychological illnesses, like depression. Okay, it doesn't mean that you're genetically similar, because these studies factored out what we call assortive mating, where you choose like-minded like people. The truth is, health habits are highly contagious in our most intimate relationships. The choice of a good partner, the choice to remain with a healthy partner, can literally be the difference of life or death for you. So all this research is very, very clear, which means that we're not having that gnocchi anymore. You hear me, sir? We're not ordering it, but you should eat at the Moody Rooster in Thousand Oaks. Pretty damn good. All right. Having said that, this brings the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show to a close.